Amen. I like the words to that song. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll meet you over there in just a moment at our theme verse for this year, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 tonight. And I'd like to speak for a few moments this evening about prayer and then hopefully give you something practical that you can apply in just a few moments during our prayer time. And we're going to do our best to extend the prayer time just a little bit tonight beyond what time we normally have to allow for that. And I trust that you'll take advantage of that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Before we get started this evening, we want to ask the Lord's help and ask the Lord to open our heart to the truth of the Scripture and to help us to pray better and to pray more scripturally. And so if you would join with me in a spirit of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we certainly need your help tonight. And in many ways, Lord, I feel inadequate to teach this lesson tonight because I recognize in my own life how much room there is for me to grow in the area of prayer. And Lord, I'm humbled by that. And then I'm reminded that you ask us, you command us to come to ask and seek and knock. And Lord, I sense that probably the experience that I have and some of the struggles that I have in prayer are common to some of our church family. And I do think tonight, Lord, that this truth which you've laid on my heart could be a help to some as it's been a help to me. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would work and move in our lives as a church so that we might receive this challenge tonight, and then in turn, that we would put it into practice, and that we would see the discipline of prayer being enacted in our own lives and in our church. And Lord, you know that we've set out here in 2019 asking you to help us to be a praying church. And so I pray that you would do that work, continue that work, and especially tonight, help us, Lord, to come out of here with some simple things that we can take and put to work in the rest of this week in helping us to be better in our prayers, more focused and disciplined and passionate. And Lord, I pray that you would work on our behalf in turn. We thank you for this time that we can gather together, and we thank you for the counsel of the Scripture, for the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And we pray that you would help us to apply it rightly tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our theme verse for this year is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. And here the Apostle Paul, in the context of the armor of the believer, is continuing to write. And I do believe that prayer is a part of our spiritual warfare. And he says here in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, I think tonight it goes without saying that all of us understand that prayer is a vital part of our spiritual life. We realize that we cannot be strong Christians without strong prayer lives. We realize that our church cannot be strong and cannot complete the will of God in the way that it ought to be completed without growing in prayer. I was reading just the other evening a book about discipline, Christian discipline. And in that book, the author was dealing with the idea that in our Christian life, there are two aspects which are equally important. One is our complete dependence upon God, and the other is the discipline of what we should be doing in our Christian life. And he compared it to two wings of an airplane. He said you couldn't fly an airplane without either one of those wings. And it's true in the Christian life, we ought to be completely dependent upon the Lord, but then we also have to work. We also have to put in some effort. We also have to have some responsibility to put some things into place. You know, prayer is one of those things that is both dependence and discipline. Prayer is depending upon God, but it's also the discipline to go to the prayer closet. And I think we fall in the ditch on either side sometimes. Sometimes we think, well, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do it right, and then God's going to hear my prayer, and we fall into the side of discipline, thinking that discipline alone is going to make us what we ought to be. Some people fall in the side of dependence, and they say, I'm just waiting on God to make me a better prayer. And as soon as he strikes me from heaven with lightning, then I'm going to get this all straightened out. And I suppose if you're waiting like that, it hasn't happened yet, because there's some effort on your part that is required. Prayer is spiritual warfare. We all know that we need to pray more and that we ought to pray better. But I wonder how many of you, and I'm not going to ask for a response, a raise of hands or anything like that, but I wonder how many of you would say, my experience does not match my desire. I would like to pray more passionately. I'm telling you how I feel. I read about men like George Mueller, James Frazier, and I read about their prayer lives and I think, Lord, that's what I want to have. And yet, somewhere in my desire and my experience, there's a gap. And maybe you could agree with that tonight.
Amen.
Think with me for just a moment about some problems of prayer. What are some problems that we experience in prayer? I'm going to ask that as a question, and I wonder if any of you would be willing to share some feedback. What are some obstacles that we come up against in prayer that we fight against? Brother Jerry?
I just don't set aside time to do it at a specific time. Okay.
So the discipline of setting a time is sometimes difficult. Cindy?
Distractions.
And those distractions could take many different forms, and depending on your stage of life and your home environment and that sort of thing, there's a lot of different things that could become distractions. What else? Too busy. We get too busy doing other things, and then we feel as if I pray that I'm not going to get the things done that I need to get done. And so there's a lack of balance. Brother Don? Going off on rabbit trails. And that's one of Brother Don's peculiar burdens. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I couldn't resist saying that. But yes, getting distracted even in what we're praying, okay? Debbie? Yeah, the feeling, did you ever have this feeling when you're praying that the words are just bouncing off the ceiling, and is God really hearing? Is he really listening? Am I getting through to the Lord? Chris?
Like formalism, when it's the same all the time.
Yes, so we fall into a pattern of saying the same things over and over again because we've always said them. And because we're comfortable with them, we're not necessarily thinking about them. I think I mentioned this the other night when I preached about prayer, how easy it is, especially in particular prayers like thanking God for our meal. We have a tendency to just say the same thing, and then we're asking each other, did we pray? I don't remember. Did somebody pray? Yeah, we just prayed like 5 seconds ago. How did we forget talking to the Lord? Maybe we weren't talking to the Lord. So the formalism aspect. I saw another hand over here. Brother Joel?
Thoughts and just keeping in the conversation.
Yes, so not just outside distractions, but these distractions in here. You know, and your mind is going to all these other things. You're trying to pray and you're thinking about changing the oil on your car, and is your boss going to be mad at you for what happened yesterday and whatever else. Denise? Okay, so Satan will often tell us this lie that you're not good enough to come into the presence of God, and he's not even going to listen to you because you haven't been doing good enough the last couple of days. So you got to clean up your act and be a better Christian before he's really going to listen to you. And that is a lie of Satan, but it's one that we get distracted by. John?
Focusing on getting through a prayer list rather than the act of praying as you go.
Okay. Right. And if you have quite a few people on your prayer list and you feel like I haven't really finished praying until I've prayed for everybody, and yet then that could be distracting, couldn't it? Because then you're just kind of saying some names. All right. These are some great ideas. I came up with some other ones. Brother Jeff?
I think like Sunday morning, men's prayer time, when you're praying with two or three men, I'm often thinking about what I'm saying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the
Okay? Very good. So when we're praying in small groups or publicly, even more so, we're trying to sound highfalutin. We're trying to sound spiritual and trying to get the other people to think, man, he really knows how to pray. She really knows how to pray. And that's not the point.
Amen.
Okay, so here's some problems that some of these are a repeat of what you folks came up with, some problems of prayer. I think sometimes we just don't know what to say. Did you ever get down on your knees and you know you got to pray and you just don't know what to say? What do I say, Lord? I don't know where to start. And so then you start and you fall into repetitive words and phrases, saying the same old things over and over and over again. And because of that, for many people, prayer is boring. Prayer is not interesting because you sense that you are praying the same things over and over and over again. You're saying the exact same words. It'd be like having the exact same conversation with your wife every time you saw her. And she would say, is there something wrong with you? Because while there are certain things that we say repeatedly, perhaps with our spouse, I love you, or how was your day, there's also a wide variety of things that we could converse about. Another problem of prayer, which I think Brother John mentioned, was list reading and feeling like, and I'll bring this out as an example. You know, we have this prayer bulletin tonight, and there's a whole bunch of names, and all of these are important needs and things that are burdens on people's hearts. And then you take this and you add to it all the other things that are on your heart and things that you want to pray about. And then you look at your watch and you're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through all this list. I know what I'll do. Lord, bless Raja, Luis, Maria, Sheila, and help them to get saved. And help Nilsa and Tom and Diane and Ruth and Cheryl with their physical problems. And then, Lord, those missionaries, they need a lot of help. You know what they need. And so I hope you'll help them. Amen. Done. I got through the list. I feel better because I prayed for everything. But did we really pray for those things? We find that it's hard to spend time. Did you ever get down on your knees to pray with the intention of spending some time in prayer, and you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and you prayed about everything that you could think of, and you looked at your watch and 4 minutes passed. And you thought, now what do I say? Now what does the Lord want me to do? Another problem of prayer is that we tend to pray according to our lusts. The book of James deals with this. We tend to, instead of going to God and submitting ourselves to His will, which is what I believe the Bible speaks about in when it speaks about waiting or watching in prayer. I believe that's an attitude of submission to the will of God. Instead of doing that, we just come and say, here's what I need. God, give me, fix this problem, solve this thing. And we're not really praying. We're just coming to God like He's some kind of a Santa Claus in the sky to give us what we want. Another problem of prayer is that we're easily distracted, and there's lots of things that can be distractions, and frankly, depending on where you're at, again, in your stage of life, some of those things are very legitimate and difficult. For instance, I'm thinking of some of you who are moms, and you're at home with young children, and you struggle to find the time and the space to be able to pray, because it seems like any time that you try to do anything by yourself, there's always kids who are looking for you and need something. And so trying to find that can become a distraction. Our smartphones, our social media, other people around can become distractions. We just easily, I think, get derailed in prayer. We get discouraged in prayer. And I think here's something that I've observed is that many Christians have tried and failed so many times in the area of prayer that they have just said, I can't do it. I mean, I can pray sort of. You know, I can pray well enough that if somebody was listening, they would think I know how to pray. But when it comes right down to it, I feel like a failure. I'm tired of stopping or starting and then stopping again, and I'm struggling. I think And I haven't taken a poll in a long time in our church. But I think if I asked the question tonight, what is the single area of your Christian life where you struggle the most? The vast majority of our church family would say prayer. Prayer. I would like to grow in the area of prayer. There's several reasons for these problems, not least of which is that prayer is a battle against our flesh. And when we go to the prayer closet, there's a wrestling match that takes place with indwelling sin and with the old man. And really, in the prayer closet is a place where we wrestle with that old man a lot. And that's one reason why it's so difficult. Another reason why I think that prayer is so difficult and has so many problems associated with it is because Satan has done a good job of distracting us from the best way to pray. He has given us instead some form of prayer that is in the Christian culture acceptable, and it sounds good. At one time, it would have probably sounded more like praying with these and thous, good King James English, and therefore you know that you're praying. You know, in this day and age, that's probably changed quite a bit, and now it's more attached to, did they say the right phrases? Did they do it the right way? Did they start out the right way and end the right way? And did they include all the right magic phrases to make sure that the prayer gets through? And to be honest with you, and I expressed this to you the other night, much of what we call praying is not really praying, but it's just saying words out loud. And so there's one very important thing that we need to do when we're praying before we do anything else, and that is we need to make sure that we are talking to God. We need to make sure that we understand, and Brother Jeff mentioned this, that when we come, men, if you're called on to pray, it's not a time to show off your theological knowledge. It's not a time to impress everyone with your language. Now, if you express some theological knowledge, if you can talk intelligently, that's fine. It's not that we should try to sound dumb when we pray either. But we should first and foremost take a pause and think, okay, I'm getting ready to talk to God. Now, it happens to be that everybody else is listening in and hopefully is joining their hearts with mine in prayer, but I'm getting ready to talk to the God of heaven. And this is a great privilege that the God of heaven has invited me before the throne of grace based on what Jesus Christ has done, and that I can bring my petitions to him. So there's a lot of problems that are associated with prayer. In fact, many Christians would express that one of the biggest disappointments in their Christian life is their lack of prayer. And the feeling, the sense that they do not pray as they ought. Didn't the disciples even come to Jesus and say to him, Lord, teach us to pray? John taught his disciples to pray, Lord, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray. Now, these were religious men. These were men who understood something about the scriptures and who had heard other people pray, but they seemed to recognize there was a difference between how Jesus prayed and what they thought prayer was. And they came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, you'll note, not only are there some problems of prayer, but just real quickly, there's a priority of prayer. It goes without saying that prayer should be a priority for the believer. My goal tonight is not to make you feel guilty about your prayer life. My goal, rather, is to try to encourage you and to give you a tool that I hope you can use in the days ahead to strengthen your prayer life. I think it's important for us to understand that all of us know that prayer is a priority, but we also still struggle in this area of prayer, your pastor included. We know that prayer is described in the scripture as being natural for a believer. So if you are saved, in your new man, The Holy Spirit of God is encouraging you to pray. There is a part of you that is longing to talk to God.
Amen.
There is a part of you that wants to have that vitality of prayer, that is longing to walk with God in that way. And there's a part of you that says, I am not content with formality. I am not content with just saying words. I am not content with repeating a list. I want to fellowship with God. That is the aspect, by the way, of a new creature. Somebody who doesn't have the Spirit of God doesn't necessarily understand that longing. They don't have that longing. Now, they don't mind praying in a sense where people are going to look at them and say, oh, good, there's a religious person. There's somebody who knows how to pray because it's for them. But a lost person doesn't understand this longing to walk with God. But if you're saved, there should be a natural longing in your heart to fellowship with God in prayer. We know that prayer is vital to having fellowship with God. We could liken prayer to one side of a conversation. That is us speaking to God. Every good relationship requires communication, requires conversation. It's important that we learn to communicate. It's no less important that we learn how to communicate with God than that we learn how to communicate with our spouse and with our children. So prayer is that aspect of our communication, which is us speaking to God. And prayer is a priority because prayer shows dependence upon God. I read something earlier today, and I'll paraphrase it. It said basically, when we do not pray, we are demonstrating that we are not dependent upon God. We're demonstrating that we believe we can deal with whatever needs to be dealt with in our own strength. We don't really need God's help. Now, I realize that as Christians, none of us would stand up and give a testimony and say, I just want to let the whole church know that I don't really need God's help. I got things figured out. But isn't it ironic that the times when we go to prayer is when we feel the most helpless, when we feel that we have no answers? In other words, in short, when we come to the place where we have become dependent upon God. I suggest to you that as a believer, that is where God wants us to live, in dependence upon Him. Now, we're not going to exclusively pray because we know that there is a responsibility to also work. But the two must be put together. So prayer should be a priority. As you look here in our text in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, I want to focus on one phrase here in Ephesians 6:18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now that's very interesting, that phrase, in the Spirit. It denotes that in order for us to pray in a way that God will hear and answer our prayers, we must be filled with the Spirit. Now, many people have made the mistake of believing that being in the Spirit is a feeling. I think somebody indicated one of the problems of prayer is feeling that your prayers are not getting to God, that they're just bouncing off the ceiling. Sadly, our feelings can lie to us. Our feelings can lead us astray, and many people have equated good praying with good feelings. So if I pray good, that means that I will be excited, or that means that I will be emotional, or that means that I will be fill in the blank, but they all equate to feelings. Now, let me hasten to say, there's nothing wrong with feelings, and it is very probable that if we spend much time praying in the Spirit, our feelings could be affected, but I think it is also an error for us to equate good praying with a feeling. Because good praying, or praying in the Spirit, which is how God describes and defines it, is actually defined much differently than by how we feel. Have you ever noticed that there are times when you feel really good and you probably shouldn't feel good? And there are also some times that you feel really bad and you probably shouldn't feel as bad as you do. In other words, just as a reminder from our series on the feelings, the emotions, your feelings have a tendency to lie to you, don't they? They tell you things that are not necessarily true. Feelings, when they are the cart and not the horse, can be a blessing from the Lord. But when the feelings are in charge, then they're going to lead us down the wrong path. Many people have mistakenly equated good praying with good feelings. But God says that we should be praying in the Spirit. So how do we gauge whether we are praying in the Spirit if it's not a feeling? If I can't use my feelings, happiness or exultation or great sorrow or some other sort of a feeling as a barometer or a gauge to see how close I am to God, then how would I know if I am praying in the Spirit? Well, there's something very interesting. If you back up to verse number 17, the Bible says that we should, and remember, these two thoughts, verse 17 and 18, are really put together. Verse 18 is a continuation of verse 17. So he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Do you note that the thought flows from the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to praying always? And so God takes the Scripture and He puts it together with our prayer. How would we know if we are praying in the Spirit apart from the only gauge which God has given to us to determine whether we are praying in the Spirit, and that is the written Word of God? Now, with that in mind, and I think that any true believer who's here tonight, I think you're probably with me saying, preacher, I want to learn to pray in the Spirit. I want to learn to pray powerfully. I want to learn to really commune with God. I want to really walk with God. So I want to make a proposal to you for prayer, and then we want to practically apply that tonight. And that proposal is based on the thought that if we are to pray in the Spirit, then we will need to pray according to the Scriptures. In fact, what we find is that prayer is one half of a conversation. The other half of that conversation is God speaking to us, and God does that through His Word. Amen. Now, certainly, God can use different circumstances in our life, and God can use the voice of other believers to challenge and strengthen us, but the primary way that God speaks to His children is through the revealed written Word of God. We're not here talking about having premonitions. We're not here talking about having feelings within ourselves. If God wants to work in that way, He could work in that way, but the way God primarily works is in speaking to us through His Word. If I am therefore going to pray in the Spirit, it will be necessary for me to pray according to the Scriptures. Amen. There is a particular book of the Bible which I believe is particularly suited for the prayer closet, and that is the book of Psalms. And the proposal that I want to make to you tonight regarding prayer is that the book of Psalms is a divinely inspired prayer and praise book. There are 150 Psalms of varying lengths. Some of the Psalms are very short. Some of the Psalms are extremely long. We have all sorts of different themes in the Psalms. And what we find when we turn to the book of Psalms from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150 is 150 divinely inspired prayers that someone prayed to God, and God saw fit to preserve them and pass them down to us. In other words, if you want to put it this way, we have 150 really good outlines for prayer. Now, when I think about the book of Psalms, I think one of the reasons that God gave us the book of Psalms is to help us in our prayer life. I believe that it is God's will for us to pray using the Psalms. And if you look in the scriptures, and I'll not take the time to demonstrate this tonight, but if you look in the New Testament and look at some of the prayers that were prayed by some of God's saints, you would find that their prayers were saturated with Old Testament scripture, and particularly with scripture coming out of the book of Psalms. They often prayed using the language which God himself revealed in the book of Psalms. And when we essay or attempt to pray from the book of Psalms, it really means that we have addressed one of the biggest problems in prayer by learning that we are never without a place to start, and we will never be without variety in prayer. You say, now, as when I read the Psalms, I do see some repetition. Certainly you do, but you also see a great deal of variety. There's a whole bunch of different kinds of Psalms which match all kinds of different human experiences. As we, over the last couple of years, have been taking segments of the Psalms and working our way through them, I'm often amazed at how the Psalms match our human experience. And how, as I read, for instance, what David went through and how he wrote about that in the book of Psalms, I feel like he's writing about me sometimes. I feel like he's talking to God about what I'm going through, and he's expressing the exact things that I'm struggling with and that I'm dealing with. In other words, the Psalms are so powerful because the Psalms match human experience of all ages. Sometimes we like to think of ourselves as much more advanced than ancient people, but the truth of the matter is we struggle with the same sins, the same fears, the same problems in our relationship with God. And when we come to the Psalms, we realize that God has given us a divinely written outline, or 150 divinely written outlines, to deal with all kinds of different experiences that we go through. One other thing that I find about the book of Psalms is that most of the Psalms usually have a good mix of praise, confession, supplication, and intercession. So they often have a good mixture of the different aspects of prayer which Jesus told his disciples we should seek to incorporate in our own prayer life. Sometimes, and I've taught before, the acrostic from the Lord's Prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good format or outline of prayer. But even that can become routine after a while. And you can fall into a little bit of a routine of saying the same old things about the same old things. But you really are not going to have that happen if you're using the book of Psalms as an outline for prayer. I'm not suggesting that this is the only place where we can find good information for prayer. We find that there are many prayers, for instance, in the New Testament, which are recorded and divinely inspired for us so that we can use those as an outline of prayer. I'm simply suggesting to you that a good place to start in praying the Scriptures, a very simple place to start in enriching your prayer experience and your walk with God, is the book of Psalms. Because when we approach God in prayer using the book of Psalms, it allows us to pray scripturally from the very beginning. Now let's talk for a moment about the practice of prayer, and then we're going to do it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how to do this, and you might want to turn, if you would, to Psalm 23, which is a very familiar psalm, and we're going to use that as an example in just a moment. The first thing you need to do is find a psalm to pray. And I think you understand that on any given day, you might have a different experience and a different burden upon your heart, and you want to talk to the Lord scripturally about that thing, that burden that's on your heart, or that victory that you're experiencing, and you want to praise God, and you understand what I'm saying. When you come to God, you have an idea of something that you want to express to God. And what's interesting is when you look at the book of Psalms, there are 150 Psalms, and if you divide by 5, then you can break the book of Psalms into sections of 30. So Psalm 1 through 30, Psalm 31 through 60, Psalm 61 through 90, and so on. And you get 5 distinct sections. Some of you may recognize this as a method for reading through the book of Psalms in 1 month. And for instance, in order to do that, if you wanted to read through the book of Psalms in 1 month, you would, on day 1, let's say January 1, you would read Psalm 1, Psalm 31, Psalm 61, Psalm 91, Psalm 121. And then on day 2, you would do the same thing. Psalm 2, then add 30 to it, add 30 to it, add 30 to it, and read 5 Psalms. Are you all following me still? Okay. If you didn't get that, see me afterward and I'll explain it again, all right, if that was too quick for you. But when you do that, and that's a way that you could read through the Psalms, but we're proposing this as a way that you could use the Psalms to pray. And if you take, let's say, Psalm 1 and Psalm 31 and Psalm 61 and Psalm 91 and Psalm 121, and you quickly skim through those, just real quickly scan those Psalms and see which one stands out to your attention and the thing that is on your heart or the burden that is on your heart. It's amazing that you'll find that usually when you look at 5 different Psalms, one of them is going to stand out to your attention and you're going to think that is where I want to focus my attention. That's where I want to pray. Amen. And it doesn't take long. It just takes a minute to look at those and scan them real quick and see, okay, This is the one that I want to use. Now you say, what do I do with Psalm 119? Well, you save Psalm 119 for the all-night prayer meeting. Just kidding. In all seriousness, one thing that you can do with Psalm 119 is broken down by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And you could choose one section of Psalm 119 and you could use that for prayer. And rather than trying to pray through the entire psalm. Now, if you've got a lot of time and you want to go through all 176 verses of Psalm 119, more power to you. And that would probably be a precious time of prayer. Of course, it all circles around the vitality of the Word of God. So we're going to find a psalm to pray. And then we're going to use that psalm as an outline for our prayer. And I'll show you how that's going to work in just a moment from Psalm 23. But then as you make your way through that psalm, you're allowing the Lord to speak to you from what He is saying, and then you are taking the opportunity to speak back to Him about what you are seeing in the psalm. So you're having a conversation. By the way, this is a great way to read your Bible as well. So when you're reading your devotions, it's good to allow the Lord to speak to your heart and then to talk back to Him about what you're seeing. But we're talking specifically about this prayer time right now. And so we could come to a psalm and we have some prayer requests and we have some thoughts on our mind and we have some things that we want to pray about. But now we're going to come to this psalm and we're going to allow the Lord to direct our prayer based on what He has recorded and preserved for us in Scripture. And this is important because this helps our prayer to be scriptural. Now, one thing that I want to say about this is not necessarily the time to break out the concordance, the Bible dictionary, the commentaries, and sometimes you're going to come across some verses in the Psalms that you're going to think, what is that about? And really, this is not the time that you want to dig into that necessarily. You're trying to talk to the Lord and have a time of prayer, and it's okay to just go past that verse. Or sometimes what you're going to find is, and hear me out now. Sometimes what you're going to find is that you're going to read a verse in that psalm, and it's going to remind you of something which has not that much to do with what the verse actually means. And it's okay to talk to the Lord about that. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, some of you don't. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as I'm thinking about that, I'm reminded of somebody who keeps sheep. And I think, Lord, you know, they work hard. Would you help them today? Would you strengthen them? Would you provide for their needs? Now, that's not what the psalm is about, but it jogged my memory about somebody who is a shepherd, and I thought, well, I want to pray for that person right now. Now, I can come back to verse 1, and I can pray about the Lord who is my shepherd, but it's okay to pray about other things that might come to your mind. All right? So we're going to use it as an outline, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us to pray. You know, some of you would be able to look at Psalm 23, and I just want to express this to the Lord right now. Thank you for being my shepherd.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord,
Amen.
For guiding me,
Amen.
Protecting me, providing for me. It says, I shall not want.
Amen.
Lord, I want to praise you because I don't want for anything.
Amen.
I don't necessarily have everything that I want, but I don't want for anything. Lord, you've taken care of my needs. My testimony is the Lord has been better to me than I deserve. Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Lord, thank you that the place where you have put me is a green pasture.
Amen.
You know, sometimes it feels like I'm in the desert, but I know, Lord, that you've put me in a green pasture. I know that you've put me in a place where you're going to provide for my needs.
Amen.
Lord, you lead me beside the still waters, and when I rest in you, Father, then I know that you provide peace to me. You provide tranquility to my soul when I am willing to rest in you and lean on you. Lord, when I fail, I thank you that you restore my soul. I thank you that you forgive. I thank you that you give second and third and fourth and 17th chances. Thank you for what you did for me in Christ in making me all new again. Lord, as I look back on my life and I see how you've led me, I see that I have been privileged to walk in some paths of righteousness. Lord, that's not because of me, but that's because you've led me there. That's because you've guided me. Lord, sometimes when I go through the dark trials, I know that you've been there.
Amen.
And I've not been afraid. Lord, you know some of our brethren and sisters here in the church are walking through some dark trials. And I know that you're their shepherd. Lord, would you help them not to fear?
Amen.
Would you help them to find consolation in you? Lord, would you be with them? Would you comfort them with your rod and your staff, Father? Might they know your protecting hand and your guiding hand? Lord, thank you for how you've promised to give me victory. I don't always sense that victory, but Lord, I know you've prepared a banquet in the presence of mine enemies, and one day the victory is going to be secured.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you've chosen me. You've anointed my head with oil, and it reminds me that you've given me the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
I'm running over, God, with blessings.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for all that you've done for me, Father. My cup truly does run over. And Lord, that gives me hope that if you've been with me up till now, then for the rest of my journey, goodness and mercy are going to follow me.
Amen.
Thank you for the hope that you give. Help me, Lord, to trust you. Help me all the days of my life to anticipate your goodness and mercy. And Lord, help me to stay faithful to you and abide in your house forever. Now, do you see how that works? You can take a very familiar psalm or a not so familiar psalm. And by the way, I wasn't just doing that as an illustration. I was talking to the Lord. He said, but you didn't close your eyes. That's okay. That's okay. You know, you could do this. All right, now don't tell the police I said. Some of you could do this on your commute to work. You could talk to the Lord in this way. Now, I advise you keep your eyes open. But you could have a short psalm displayed in a place where you could see it while you're driving, where you could glance at it, and you could be talking to the Lord. Some of you say, I really struggle to find a place and quiet and tranquility so that I can talk to the Lord. Well, maybe your car is that place. Maybe going for a walk and you can, I mean, you can walk and pray. You can kneel and pray. You can jump up and down and pray. Whatever you need to do, you can sit down and pray. You can drive and pray. So it's not so much the location or the position of your body, but it is, are you praying in the Spirit?
Amen.
And I'm telling you that if you start to apply this in your life, it's going to change the way that you pray.
Amen.
Now, maybe some of you say, preacher, I already do this. I do this with other scripture, and this is how I pray all the time. Praise God. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. But my suspicion is that many of us have never tried something like this. And here's the danger tonight. The danger is that you sit here and say, praise the Lord, that was wonderful. I think I want to try that sometime. And then you go out from here and you don't put it to practice. So what I'm going to challenge you to do in just a moment is to find a psalm during our prayer time and to take it to the Lord. And make it a target of prayer, all right? If you need to set a stopwatch or something to help you with that, I know that sounds really carnal. But let's say that you're in the habit of praying for 2 or 3 minutes. So why don't you set a reminder or something on your watch for 8 or 9 minutes? You say, but wait a second, preacher, I want to pray for an hour. Well, so do I. I think all of us should make our goal that we want to be able to pray an hour and that it would pass like nothing. That we would be able to pray all night. But if you're praying 2 or 3 minutes in a day, it's probably good to set a goal of praying for 10 minutes. That's a manageable goal. And then just take and pick a psalm and talk to the Lord about it. If you finish the psalm and your time's not quite back up, circle back through the psalm and think about some other things that come to your mind. It's okay to circle back and try again and just keep talking to the Lord. And then do it again tomorrow. And then do it again the next day. And then do it again the next day. And I'm telling you that after you do this for a few days, if you're a child of God, you're not going to want to miss it. Because that time with the Lord is going to become precious.
Amen.
Now, in just a moment, we're going to have our prayer time. Today is the 16th, correct? Which means, what are the psalms that we would consider for today? Psalm 16, Psalm 46, Psalm 76, Psalm 106, and Psalm 136. So in just a minute, you can take and scan through those psalms real quickly and see if any of those match some of what you would like to express to God. Now, you can also take your prayer list while you're doing this. And some of the things that are on here are going to match some of those verses that you're going to, from the psalm that you're going to choose. And you'll be able to pray very scripturally for some of these needs. All right, so that may be a help to you. And then try to set some time and spend some time in prayer. Now, there's two things that we could do during our prayer time. First of all, we could say, just pray by yourself. so that you can really give some attention to praying in this way, and that would be fine. And some of you are really looking forward to praying together with a prayer partner, and if that's the case, that's fine. You can also adapt this for praying with a prayer partner. Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to have one person pray all the way through the psalm and then another person pray. What would work better and what would keep your mind better focused is if one of you prayed for the first verse of the psalm and then the other of you prayed for the next verse of the psalm. Or maybe you both want to pray about something that God brings to your mind from the first verse and then switch off and switch back and forth. And one of the things that that does is it keeps you from going to sleep while the other person is praying, because you know that your turn is coming in just a couple of minutes, and nobody really then is going to be praying for 10 minutes at a time while somebody else is struggling to pay attention to them. Does that make sense to you? All right, are you willing to try it tonight? I hope that you will, because I think this has the potential to give you the opportunity to pray differently. Our prayer bulletins, our ushers have those. If you need a prayer bulletin, raise your hand. And we want to get to prayer so that we have some time to do this. By the way, some of you moms, while they're handing that out, some of you moms are at home and you say, man, my kids, they're going crazy. How would I ever find even 8 or 10 minutes of prayer that I could spend? Well, what if you took the psalm and you just set it somewhere where you could see it, and then throughout the course of the day, as you have a minute that you have to think about something, you pray about the next verse and you bring that before the Lord. Wouldn't that be better than not praying at all? Give you an opportunity to come before the Lord. And so I hope that this will be a blessing to you.